Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. And I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Will You Accept This Rose, a production of iHeartRadio.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Bring it all up in
what an episode.
So
what an episode.
I just got one little
for
question.
Such a dud, it's such a
will
fun
you
season.
This rose?
You know what? I completely, surprisingly, am happy to accept your rose. And not in the way that I thought I was going to be, but I am more than happy to accept this rose. This turned out to be a very fun season. Hello and welcome to another episode of Will You Accept This Rose? My name is Audra Marie and coming to you from my bougie garage in Los Angeles, California. Oh, be still my heart. The boys are back in town. We missed them. I can't believe we have not had them on this season. Truly, and we did not pregame because I don't even want to know what they think. I have a feeling, I have suspicion about some of their feelings. I'm not here to speak for them. They are their own mouthpieces. Okay, with me today, of course, you guys fucking love when they're on. We have the Doughboys. You know Nick Weiger. He was a writer on I Love You America, which is Sarah Silverman's show, Comedy Bang Bang at Midnight. Nick, you're also a Bachelor franchise super fan since you came in.
That's right.
How are you, Nick Weiger?
I'm doing well. You know, Clayton's tenure is a challenging stretch of my burgeoning Bachelor fandom, I will say.
Sure.
But that said, it's made for an eventful season.
Absolutely. Also with us is a man who did not embrace the franchise as wholeheartedly, but then sometimes he drinks the Kool-Aid. Sometimes he's all in. He is a movie star. Excuse me. You've seen him in Tomorrow War. He may or may not be filming something prestigious. I don't know if it's allowed to be named. Kind of fancy. Ladies and gentlemen, he's the other half of Doughboys, Mr. Mike Mitchell. Hi, Mitch.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for having me. Clayton is a dud, and it hurts. It's hard to watch with such a dud, but you're right that, I mean, last night seemed like an episode tailor made for us. Just in the fact that what they do for their little fun date activity is just the funniest thing possible.
Oh, Mike, all of it was spectacular. All of us, of course, we also have the production team, Dr. Anna, Tana, Ariana, Hannah Montana, Dana, Tana Hosnier. Hi, Anna.
Thank you for saying all my names.
Yes. Well, you set the writer over. And also with us, of course, the woman that is helping us. She sent us on her way 7 years ago by greenlighting us to all become champions. Ladies and gentlemen, Katie Levine.
I could see back then you were going to be a champion, and I said, I have to greenlight this show.
No, I need to tell the Doughboys. Doughboys, here's what you need to know. This is who I've become. Since coming out of COVID and as the Puka Shell divorcee, I decided to go back. I've never played a sport. I took up tennis. Oh, I played tennis through high school, but I don't even think I made JV. I think I was third. And I was like, I just need some activity just like something to talk about with people. So I was like, I'll do tennis. And I found this these clinics that are at rec centers. And now I was always speaking badly against myself. My friend did an intervention and she said, no, you have to just tell everybody you're becoming a champion. And now it's completely changed my life. And all I do in all areas,
wow.
All I do is talk about how I'm becoming a champion. And now I almost say, not ironic, I'm like a total douche now. And so like people are like, what are you up to? And I will say that, like, well, I'm busy becoming a champion. And it's completely changed my life. Have you guys ever considered becoming champions? And would you like to also join in becoming a champion with me?
I would love to. I feel like I would get destroyed playing tennis. I've been doing long walks. That right. is my idea of being yes. a champion.
It doesn't have to be tennis. I mean, in any area of your life. So let me ask you this, and I'm gonna. Your line is becoming a champion. Ready, Mitch? What have you been up to?
I've been becoming a champion. God, I couldn't even do it well.
Do it. So you've been going on a lot of walks. What's your goal for your long walks?
You know, maybe I'll hit a 10 miler at some point. That's what and I
to become what?
To become a champion. Oh, sorry. To become a champion. That's my goal.
Doesn't it feel good?
It does kind of feel good.
Liger, now, would you consider yourself the Uh-oh. Champion of fast food connoisseurs?
Yeah.
What are you
going to be the champion of?
Say it with a little gusto. What have you been up to this year?
I'm becoming a champion. I've actually been better about stretching. So
yes,
there you go.
I've
been stretching pretty much every day, doing a little 10-minute stretch routine.
Dude, that is a champ. Yeah. I'm talking to two champions right now. Well, champions see champion, and here we go. Okay, I wanted to say what's been fascinating is watching this season. It almost reminds me of Big Little Lies, where in the beginning of Big Little Lies, you see the cops come. You know someone's been murdered. You don't know what's happened, and then you go back. We happen to have a mole in the house who warned us, and because I never do spoilers, but all I knew was all the women hated him. That was the only piece of information I had, was that all of the women hated him. So it feels like we had that breadcrumb, and we've been watching almost like a slow-moving car crash of, like, why do they hate him? And boy, has it become glaringly obvious the last few episodes. Talk to me about your overall feeling so far of this season. In my mind, Shanae is the greatest villain of all time. Nick, I'm going to start with you. Talk to me about your feelings on this season.
Well, first off, thank you so much for sharing that with me. I feel like that's Clayton's response to everything.
Like, oh my God, yes.
Every single personal detail you could reveal to him, yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with me.
By the way, I felt comforted when you said that, though. I have to say.
It's true, yeah.
And when you
it
said
fucking
that,
works.
I actually felt, I was like, you're welcome. I actually felt like, oh, you're welcome, Nick. Thank you.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay, I've learned something.
Yeah. Okay, so you find him.
He's just, I mean, look, I'm a dud. So I empathize with the guy.
You're a fucking champion.
I'm a champion. I'm king of the duds. I empathize with the guy, but it's just like he's very handsome. He's very honky. But he's just kind of, Katie disagrees. You don't think he's honky. He works for me.
He's big.
He's big and bulky and muscular.
Yes.
But he's got a superhero physique and that works for me. But I think he's just like, it's kind of a bland personality and it doesn't feel like he necessarily has a connection with anyone in the house, save for someone in this episode who I started to be like, maybe they make sense together, which we'll get to.
Okay. I want you to know Gareth Reynolds last week really accurately put his finger on his build. He called him a centaur.
He is a bit centaur-like.
He's a centaur. Okay, Mitch, how are you feeling overall?
Insult to centaurs because it's the most boring centaur.
The most boring centaur. That's the name of this episode. It's the most boring centaur.
I am bored by Clayton. I don't love watching him. I do think Shanae is, you know what? She's doing her thing and she's making the season her own. I just have such a, I think I know who from last week's episode, I think I have an idea of who I think is going to be one of the last ones remaining.
Me too.
And it's spoiler alert. It's Rachel.
Yes, the woman who stumbled on that family. By the way, it was like it turns out it was business owners that they never acknowledged that they, you know, yes, the barbecue.
The barbecue, yeah.
Yeah, the flight instructor.
Just even the way that she jumped into his arms.
Oh, yeah.
In that episode. And I was like, man, this is like, yeah. And then like, he was like, everything you do is hot. And I was like, oh, this is going to be the one that she ends up with. But I do hope that it's Shanae. Like, I like seeing the destruction of Shanae.
Me too.
It's almost that hard thing where I'm like, almost like Shanae is like a force of good almost in my mind, because he's so boring and she's so chaotic that I maybe like her. Maybe I'm in love with Shanae a little bit is the truth. I think that I
love this for you.
After this is over, I hope Shanae will accept my rose.
I hope she does. Oh my God. I love this for you. I love this for you. Honestly, I hope she wins.
It would be very funny if I saw you out and I was like, let me introduce you to Shanae. And it was and Shanae. It would be insane. Yes.
I would be so starstruck. I would be so starstruck that I wouldn't even know how to behave. I'd have to really calm myself. I'd have to self-soothe and go, Arden, act like a champion, not like a weirdo. You're the champion now. You're not the weirdo. You're not Barb from Stranger Things. You're the champ. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So here we are. We're in Houston. Shanae, that at the end of the episode, she chucked the trophy across. Everybody's all upset. Susie, the photographer, again, she also has a good connection, but not as good as the flight and not as good as Rachel. Susie's like, they're talking about her. Jill is very upset. There's been a turning point. No one there. He does have a house of pretty great women, and he's not taking in any of them, and that's why they all hate him.
I like Susie. It gets to that point where you're like, they should all like, and like they point this out where they're like, if you keep Shanae around, like that's bad. And I'm like, yeah, you should leave. Everyone should leave. I mean, like that's like, I think the women are. There's a lot of cool women in this season, and I'm just like, God, he's such a bummer, such a dud.
Well, again, knowing this is exactly the text I got at the beginning of the season, which is the women are great, that like aside from one, and the other one that left early, like who got called out because she had the boyfriend, but like he has great women, and like it's going to be a great Bachelor in Paradise because there's all these 100% great women.
Yeah.
So then there's a date, a one-on-one with Serene, and she did the leg wrap with a centaur at the beach. She's so little. I'm watching her leg wrap around a centaur. How did that feel for you, Nick?
I just was – he's wearing a salmon T-shirt, which to me, that's the least amount of effort you can put into a date outfit. Like, it's like almost like no effort would be better. Like, show up in a tracksuit. Right. Or show up in athleisure. Yeah, just like to put on a salmon T-shirt is like the bare minimum. He has a hulking physique, and yeah, so there's a little bit of a size mismatch there. But I don't know. I was just like, man, what is this guy doing?
Yeah, somebody tweeted at us that he seems to think that like his only way of figuring this out is that he's the judge in a kissing contest. Like. Because he's never asked any questions. Like,
yes,
he is the judge in a kissing contest. Katie, I saw you laugh at that. And Dr. Banana, did that one stand out to you?
Yeah. Also, in regards to his styling, I don't think they know how to style him. I mean, we had Carl Tart on early on, and he said, like, you have to go to certain places to find clothes, you know, that fit you, that also look good, you know?
He likes ASOS. Sure. Carl likes ASOS.
But, like, it feels like the styling team has not figured that out for him. Like, they have the hoodie under the blazer.
Yep.
Now they have a brown sweater under a blazer. I don't know what's going on, but I feel like they don't know what clothes to put him in.
No, he looks awful. Like, I'm really, I feel bad, but I'm just so unattracted to him. Like, I just hate him. Like, I really do.
Yeah.
I think he's just such like a, he's just making the dumbest choices that it's like, it's just, you know, I can't deal with it.
I don't hate him, but I'm not there's no interest there. Like, it's like every time he keeps Shanae, I'm like, as with the women in the house, I'm like, dude, like, I hope she wins. You've lost all of us.
I'm
a Shanae accelerationist.
My mom texted me last night that she thinks that he looks worse when he smiles.
Wow.
From a mother, that's cutting.
I know. Wow. You know what? That's something JJ would have texted me 100%. I didn't know that your mom had that in you. And wow, you're for it. Okay, so there they are. Yes, yes, Mitch.
It's just one of those people you meet in life where you're like, I almost want to like be around you more to like understand what you are. It's truly like a baffling human being to me. Like, I remember going to college and seeing like bros and being like, what makes you tick? I'm like confused by you more than anything. And this guy is exactly that. I'm like, he's baffling. He's a baffling choice. But you know what? He shut down Pleasure Pier for the day. And if you can shut down Pleasure Pier for a full day, how Pleasure can you take it away from the people, Pleasure Pier?
Oh, my God, Pleasure Pier. I have to agree with you. I think you know what it is. I think we're seeing somebody. I mean, who knows? I don't know the struggles that this person has had. I'm not trying to judge my insides by somebody else's outsides. But, like, there is somebody that a tall, built football player, white, like, pleasant enough guy probably has had a lot of green lights in life. You know what I mean? Like, he's certainly nice enough.
He's been on the Autobahn. He's fine. Everything.
Yeah, all green lights. Dr. Banana, do you agree with all that?
Oh, yeah. All white, like, remotely, just generically handsome guy who played football. I think he's going to, he's from Missouri.
I mean,
like the king of Missouri or wherever the hell he is from.
I know that we're not even at tweet of the week yet, but somebody had the best tweet that I feel like I need to just read it right now. And I hope I don't ruin their chances of winning. It just made me laugh so much. Okay, I'm just pulling it up. This is still in the running. This is from Rebecca at Elegant Crop Top. Having a white, hetero, cis male, former pro athlete address a group of women and tell them it hasn't been easy but challenging to be the bachelor. So, quote, I would like to talk to the winning team of the group date is so peak 2022.
I can't imagine what he's been through.
That has made me laugh so hard. It's peak 2022. It hasn't been easy.
Dude, you can fix it. You got to send this one person home.
You did this. You're the one. And by the way, you sent home Sierra. Like, they're all telling you, like she sucks. Okay, here we go. So there he goes on the date with Serene. There's a leg wrap at the beach. He shuts down Pleasure Pier, and they connected so quickly early on. We find out he worked at a Six Flags in Eureka, Missouri. Judging by the tweets we got, sounds like that's where you work if you live in Eureka, Missouri. He said, I worked at the Fudge Factory. Dancing was optional.
It so much.
This just
cracked me up because I think this was like, there's an element of this that felt like his like deepest secret. Like, that's how little there is to him.
Yes. The Fudge Factory.
I just have something I have to tell you. I worked the Fudge Factory at Six Flags.
And I kind of did dances. I didn't do the dances always.
I don't know.
I pictured myself with a broom cleaning up garbage at the Six Flags as like a group of girls was laughing at him doing a dance at the Fudge Factory.
He's funny. He's so funny. Look how funny he is.
Oh my God. A sense of humor is really important to him, you guys.
Jesus Christ.
So then they go on
this. By the way, I just want to say that this park looks like it will be in some sort of suit someday for something going wrong and someone dying. Like, it seems like a park where someone will die.
Well, that's what I wanted to say. So they go on that swing thing. So in Rhode Island, there was a park called Rocky Point. Rocky Point, it's so exciting. Rocky Point, where you can come alive. Rocky Point, you're all invited to share a summer time. Rocky Point. And I believe every summer, one of those swings on the chains would like break and like somebody would go flying. Those swing chairs are really dangerous.
Yeah, and this one elevated into the sky.
Yeah.
And over the ocean. It seemed terrifying.
You're not really locked in that well. Like, you're just sort of like on a plank. The back isn't particularly hot. You're like on like a piece of wood with like a belt over your lap with like chain link holding you flying high over the ocean or the lake. I guess, the lake. Like, that was, I wouldn't go on that one.
Look, if there was a god, Clayton would have been slung out into the sea.
That centaur would have gone flying over the fudge factory. One final here. I mean, what did you? So then they go on the date and they're like kissing. They're in like the ice cream shop. He makes her a scoop of ice cream, which you could tell she didn't want to eat, but he made for her.
It looked like he did a bad job too. Looked like bad scoop.
I was trying to figure out if he scooped it or if a PA scooped it.
Oh, okay.
Because
there was a real disproportionality between the bottom scoop and the top scoop.
Yeah.
Which is not ideal.
Then I think he scooped it. She said no, and I like Serene, but I'm always concerned or confused when people say things like this. I'm very mysterious.
Yes.
I'm very mysterious. What do you like? Is there something that you're wondering about of what I'm thinking? Like, I don't know. Whenever somebody like it's like she wanted him to be like, wow, you're so mysterious. So that she admitted she was mysterious. And then she goes, do you think there's a dark side there? And then they're kissing at the table. And then they go and he's like, I know there's something behind that smile. And then they go have dinner. And then they're like, today was a thrilling day. But I have something important to tell you. But I don't open up a lot. So I get it. I'm from New England. My family didn't discuss feelings much. Mitch, you're a New Englander. Did your family talk about feelings?
No, I mean, not a lot. And like, especially romantic feelings or sex or anything like that was off the table completely. Like death and stuff like that, a little bit more just because the Mitchells were dropping like flies around me when I was younger.
Sure.
So,
sure. Look at Anna.
So mostly, I mean, I get it, but then also, and I feel bad for her reveal.
Oh my God.
It's sad, but I also like was just still so bored the whole time. Like this part of the episode, I know that's very mean. I'm not trying to be mean about this, but I was just very bored throughout this part of the early part of the episode that it was like, Shanae was like an angel from heaven coming in and causing chaos.
There was one thing I found completely gripping in this scenario at this dinner table, which is when they had the close up of the two of them holding hands under the table.
Yes.
Very prominent in the frame. This eye draw was an untouched broccoli florette that felt like it was occupying a third of the frame. And I kept looking at that florette.
Yeah.
It's like they really staged this to be broccoli heavy.
I think
you're going to be winning Emmy for that one shot.
I think they're not supposed to eat the food. And then like they did eventually have one. There was one bachelor, Ari, would just like chow down and then eat, which I actually was like, one of my favorite things about him because I'm a hungry, as you know, I'm a hungry girl who loves flavors. And so I think they pre-eat and then like they sit there and then you're not supposed to eat. But he would eat and then like eat off the plate of like the other people, which even though he sucked, I did appreciate that he chowed down.
That's super funny.
Where does Clayton rank in like the sucky bachelor level? Is he middle or is he?
Well, I don't know. Katie is saying
Katie's giving a thumbs down.
I don't know. Yeah. I think we've had a lot of sucky bachelors. I would say middle. I mean, there's a lot of boring bachelors. Ari was awful. I mean, they're all boring.
There's got to be like a line between the like dull and like bad or destructive, right? There's probably some like genuinely bad guys at some point. I don't know enough of the lore if anyone's been canceled or whatever, but he's just kind of like
harmless.
Dull.
I would say he's harmless. And Shanae, it's still kind of an entertaining season because he has a great villain to me.
100%.
Man, she's great.
And she actually seems like they actually found a real villain, not just somebody chasing like Instagram followers. I mean, I think there's an element of that too, but I think she's actually just an excellent villain.
Yes, totally unrepentant.
Bachelor. We had two really shitty bachelors, Jake Pavelka, whatever his name was, and then Juan Pablo.
Oh, yeah.
Those were the two that were true villains. But I do think they learned from those experiences, and now they really only pick like very bland guys who will kind of do as you say.
All right, I think I told you this, but an early job for me was not an early job. I had been in LA for a while at this point, but I did Bachelor recaps with Jake Pavelka. And I would watch it was maybe the season after Pavelka.
I remember you mentioning this.
And we'd watch the Bachelor, like me and Jeff Dutton, some of my sketch group, the Birthday Boys, we'd watch it. And then we'd like write a show within like an hour. And then Pavelka would film it and go live. So we were like hanging with Pavelka in a weird like mid Wilshire kind of area, like West Hollywood home. And then we just like film him. It would be like a 5-hour process. Then we'd film him and then it would go up that night. He'd do like,
how was it?
It was bad. I mean, the show was bad.
Yeah.
We tried to put like weird things in there. Like, we called it like the Bachelor Recapture. And we had like Jake Pavelka in the house tonight. And he was like singing and dancing to that song. Great. Which shows you the time period of when it was.
Sure.
But you know what? He was a nice guy, but I could see him being a boring Bachelor contestant, I'm sure.
I didn't watch his season.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're all kind of boring. So we find out that Clayton, his dad, My House, My Rules. So then she has something that she's, you know what? I feel for her because I have also like lost a lot of people quickly. And it's weird when you... It's something, and it sounds like for her it was brand new, like with her cousin. So it's also like on your mind. And I actually felt like she phrased it well. And she was like, you know, there's something, I've had a lot of unexpected loss. And she was like, it's sort of a sped up process. Like, that's something that you kind of don't want to mention on the first date. But like, if you're not going to get another date, it's almost weird if you don't mention it. And like,
So
I did have compassion for her. I get that when I'm on dates and people are like, so your parents still married? I'm like, kind of, you know, like you can only tiptoe around. Anyway, so she lost her grandma a year ago, who basically also helped raise her because her mom was a single mom. And then she lost her cousin who was a year younger than her. Like, it sounds like right before the season started. She struggled with a lot of drugs. She's tried her best to get through it. They were close in age, and we heard a story about them going to the country and the two little girls, and there was hundreds of fireflies when they were like 5, and they smushed the fireflies because they wanted to glow, and then she started crying, and then he just...
Which was cute when she talked about, I mean, like sad and cute when she talked about the fireflies.
And then they kissed, and then they kissed, and then she said, it's becoming real that he could be my husband. It is the best day. I definitely feel like I'm falling in love with Clayton. I mean, they have chemistry. I think she's definitely in the running.
Yeah.
She's cute. I know obviously it was something that was bothering her if she brings it up. I just for the first half of this episode, I was just so,
I know.
That's all very sad. I think she's great, but he's just, God, Clayton is just, Clayton also like wasn't even very like comforting. He was giving like,
no, I agree with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that with me.
Yeah. He didn't know what to say.
It's hard for you to say. It was like a celebrity trying to talk about Taiwan and China. It's like, well, it's a difficult situation. You know, we all support certain values and we just want to make sure like, that everyone is okay out there.
She's experienced loss. Just be warm to her. You fucking comfort her. Weirdo. Yeah.
I agree with you. Every day, and I don't know, I mean, Katie and Anna, does anybody ever, there's no questions being asked. Like, tell me about your job. Like, what were you like as a kid? Who's your best friend? What do you do for fun? Like, there's no information exchange. Like, what's your house life? Do you live in an apartment? Do you have roommates? Like, tell me anything about your life. Like, what do you do on the weekends? Are you a night owl? Like, what TV shows do you like? Tell me anything. Like, anything.
Well, at Six Flags, I worked at the Fudge Factory. didn't like to dance, so there's that.
Was dancing optional?
It was optional, yeah.
Are there any final thoughts before we take a quick break and we get to the rose ceremony? Any thoughts, final thoughts on this date, the one-on-one date with Serene and Clayton? No, there you go. That says it all.
No, honestly, no.
Yeah, she says she's mysterious. The mystery is what she sees in Clayton.
Can I? I am. Do you guys find it a red flag when somebody says, like, everybody tells me I'm mysterious?
I tell Mitch that all the time. And so.
Because you're a champion.
He's right.
You're a champion.
I'm a champion. I don't know if mysterious is the right word for it, but people want to know what's up with Weiger. I'll say that much.
Do like, they?
What's his deal? Like,
do
what
they?
The fuck is that guy's deal? Yeah, that's kind of how it's worded.
Everybody goes, what's his deal? I like that. Yeah, you know what?
What's his deal? What's wrong with that guy mostly?
I like that. So you can be the champion of being mysterious.
I guess so.
Yeah, that's hot.
All right, that's my thing.
You know what? Hey, champ, champsy champ. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with the mysterious Nick Weiger. Okay, bye.
Bone Zone.
Let's get in the Bone Zone, guys.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Guys, it's a rose ceremony in a hotel in Houston. And the cocktail party, you know, she was like, her showing up when we won was a slap in the face. It was the confrontational is the new level. And if he keeps her around, you know, it is really going to be, all the women are just like pissed. Basically, they're like, if he keeps Shanae, we fucking go. And they're like, we're happy to give her a chance, but she's such a shitbag. So then they've all told him this. So he pulls Shanae aside and she's like, yeah. I threw it. I was pissed. I took the trophy and I was through it. meanwhile, Marlena, who's the pro Olympian, she goes, look, you're an athlete. I'm an athlete. I take an L with pride. I just suck it up. Like, that sucked. And she's like, yeah, I did throw it. I was angry. And he was like,
he's almost like he's talking to a little girl. He's like, yes. Don't you feel like you should be sad? She's like, yeah, I do. You know what? She goes, you fuck with me, you watch out. It was in her confessionals are amazing.
They're great.
And then I have to ruin.
I like that Clayton's like, thank you for telling, like, I'm an athlete, you're an athlete. And Clayton's like, thanks for telling me, you're cut. Basically, it's like, is basically what happens from all that.
No, he keeps her. He cuts.
He didn't cut her. Okay, all right.
Okay, he cut. Oh, no.
He will.
So then he goes, she goes, if I have to ruin a cocktail party, I will, for my sake. A decision has to be made. So then Marlena says to Shanae, I'm angry. She's like, look, I heard something. I threw the trophy. I was upset. I was tired of hearing my name. I do feel like I felt like throwing the trophy in the pond. It was not the right thing to do, but I did it. And you know what? These are the actions and I will accept it. And then he's like, do you feel like you should apologize for it? You know, it's sort of hard to defend. She's like, yeah, I do. I want to apologize. And then she's like, I'm not going to apologize. And she's like, guys, I'm really sorry. It is not my character, but I have to apologize. It's not my intention to hurt. And so she's crying. I'm truly sorry. I'm really so sorry. And they're all like, I accept your apology. And then she goes back. He kisses her. He rewards her. He's super horny. And then we see the greatest in the moment confessional. She's like, ugh, that was the hardest thing I have ever had to do in my life. Apologize
so good.
To people that I'm not sorry for. I'm not sorry, hoes, you mean ass bitches. I need an Oscar for that performance that was fake. Fake it till you make it, honey. This is Meryl Streep down here. This is Shanae up
Insane.
Here.
Insane.
Take so it. Everything's good. Out on the table. Have at it, doughboys.
I wrote two bullet points here.
Streep slander is insane.
Yeah, the streep line. Well, also Grippo was called. He was called Meryl Streep at some point, right? Didn't Katie call him Meryl Streep?
Yes.
Or say you're not Meryl Streep because he was an actor. So Meryl Streep recurring in the Bachelorverse. I wrote down in my notes that was the hardest thing I ever had to do in my life, and I do think she believes that. I think that's true. And then the bullet point underneath it was, I hope Shanae wins it all. Because I just, like, at that point, I was like, she's got me. That this is...
Yes!
It's like reading about climate change. I'm just like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's take Shanae to hometowns. Let's see her visit Mar-a-Lago or whatever. I just, like, let's... I want Shanae to be the final one. Why not?
I agree with you. You know what? This idiot has had all the warning in the world.
Yes.
Like, let's fucking do this. Like,
you know what the issue is, though?
Yeah.
Some people just, they see that crazy and they want the crazy. Like, I think he wants.
Could be,
I think he's maybe attracted to the, maybe both, you know, maybe he has that in him too. I think that, like, I think he likes it. I think he likes her. I think he likes her being crazy. I think he likes what Shanae is, and he deserves Shanae.
I agree. I think he did like being like the bad girl. Like, you're gonna go daddy, I'm gonna go apologize. Mm-hmm. Oops. And I was like, I'm not gonna fucking say that. Oh yeah, I'm sorry, you fucking pieces of shit. Like, I'm so sorry, daddy. There's such a Pornhub thing for Shanae and Clay. Right. Like, they could have a whole, like, OnlyFans. It's like a whole thing. You knew he was gonna keep her. He's so horny for her.
She's so evil. Everything about her is so evil, though. I just can't. The whole got you, bitches. I'm an actor. You're like, okay.
She's
like,
she's so fun. What?
She's out of her mind, but I want her to win. I
do too.
She's making this boring guy just she's making it easy to swallow. It's great.
Katie, I'm going to call on you one second. Get ready. Because I have to say, I don't think since Corinne have we had one person come in and dominate a season so much. Like, and then it would also be Chad on the other side. Katie, talk to us.
Well, it's funny because, you know, it looks like in the coming attractions for next week, she accuses Genevieve of being an actor.
Oh, yes.
You see,
so
like,
good.
Clayton turn to her and be like, are you an actor? And that's just so rich.
Good.
Oh, my God.
It's so good.
Oh. I already wrote my notes that Genevieve is toast. She's done.
Genevieve doesn't stand a chance. By the way, when she said she'd scripted out and been rehearsing all of her lines for Clayton, like her monologues for Clayton.
Oh, my God.
And by the way, she does present a different – Corinne was actually sweet. Corinne was never mean to the other girls. She was just like – she just was sexy and would just get the rose and like Nick wanted to have sex with her and then she would just go take naps during the rose ceremony and the women hated her that she was napping. Like, you know,
that's awesome.
She was kind of an incredible contestant. Complicated. I got to say, Shanae is a really fun contestant.
I feel like no matter what, no matter who Clayton ends up with, him and Shanae will have some sort of relationship off the show. It just feels like
he
loves her.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. So then in comes his fucking clone, Jesse Palmer. And and then we see her go, I am this hot blonde bombshell. What else do I got to say? Give me the Oscar. Give me the Golden Globe. Give me the trophy. Give me the final rose. I can't disagree. She is a bombshell. She's not wrong. So they're at the C. Baldwin Hotel in Houston. It's the rose ceremony. She then goes, I'm sweating. My vagina is sweating. My armpits are sweating. Incredible. Incredible. An incredible run, she said. She's really been peacocking around this entire franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Nick, how did you feel with that speech?
I just like to hear her tell Clayton, my vagina is sweating, and have him reply, well, thank you so much for sharing that with me.
And then kiss her. And then kiss her.
And they start making out.
So then he cuts Jill and he cuts Sierra. And then Sierra goes, don't be stupid. And basically, she says,
love that.
If you end up with her, like, that's who you deserve, basically.
Yeah.
I wanted Sierra to be like, you are stupid. Like, he deserved more of, like, a dressing down for being so dumb.
She said that's his own bed. Basically, you made your own fucking bed, you idiot. You can now lay in it. Like, you are such an idiot. And then Shanae took another lap around with her sweaty pits or sweaty vagina and just said, I just sent another bitch home. Who's next on my list? Everyone should kind of watch out. He's mine.
Wow.
Amazing. Incredible. They should study her in villain school. Dr. Banana, Ariana, how do you feel watching this right now?
She walks out of this season with not a single woman literally breaking her nose because you can see it. Genevieve, just even that few rose ceremonies ago.
Yeah.
The way Genevieve was like, you stupid bitch. How do you get it?
Yeah.
And now just knowing that they're going on a 2-on-1 and then Shanae's going to accuse her of being an actor.
Oh my God, it's so good. By the way, she is a bartender in Los Angeles, so she probably is an actor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Carl Tart said he knew her. They had worked together at some point.
Of course she's an actor. Wow. I mean, I'm sure it makes sense if you're in LA and you can get cast. Why wouldn't you?
Right.
If Shanae was a Disney villain, she like would have like she'd like fall off the cliff at the end. Like she deserves a bad exit.
Oh yeah, she would go up and she would like spontaneously combust and like for sure.
Yeah, and these women have a basis for a coup.
Oh,
A coup d'état against Clayton.
Oh,
overthrow him at this point. He is not a strong leader.
Yes, and again, just as we go going back to the Big Little Lies of it all, that like we knew that they all hated him by the end of the season. And so just watching this slow-moving car crash of his decisions and his boner, just every time, you just see the hardening of these hearts of these great gals being like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah.
Like, they hate him more, I think, than they even hate Shanae. They're like, fuck you. Are you kidding me, you idiot?
Yeah.
Like, we warned you. Sierra was great. She warned you, you fucking idiot. Okay, so then, guess what, guys? We're going international.
This made me laugh so much.
And by the way, as everybody pointed out, because everybody calls him Clayton, we got a lot of tweets that he was like, we're going to Toronto. And he really hit the T.
Yes.
Toronto?
It's also, is that always Toronto, a bachelor Canada. Thing? Because like when it's like, we're going international, I was like, ooh, interesting. And then it was like, Toronto. I was like, oh, God.
COVID.
It's
like a, COVID.
Yeah. COVID. All right. Sure. Is that what it
is? Basically, they've been, yeah, this is the first time they've even ventured out of being not at a Hyatt the whole time, you know, of like, oh, we're at the Hyatt, but we're going to do a hometown tour in the lobby. I brought a lobster. It's like Rhode Island, you know, like, so I think this is the COVID. They might not have been able to go to like Italy or something, you know?
Do they usually do something like that? Will they go overseas?
Oh, yeah. Oh, major. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No, this is like peaking. This is the first time they're back in the mansion, first time they're actually flying. So it's still COVID. Normally they would go to like, I don't know, Ireland or Thailand or like the Bahamas, or basically it's whoever's giving them money to promote their city or country.
Yeah.
So then they go to Niagara Falls. I wrote down dad jeans. So he must have been in dad jeans. And Gabby got a single date.
Yes.
As my friend texted me, she's like your fun friend on pills.
there were a couple things.
Oh, go ahead, Rox.
There were a couple of things in here, which is one is that I felt like they kept saying Toronto, Canada, like just to like specify in case anyone thought that Toronto was not in a different country. And then, but then there's a toast that Clayton gives at some point where he's just like to Toronto. It was just like the most low energy thing. I'd like just raising a glass and just to Toronto. And then we land and then we hear, look at the fall foliage from somebody. So someone's like, yeah.
Look at the fall foliage.
Yeah.
Katie, what were you going to say about the herbing on pills? I would never say. No, I
had a friend who texted me last night the same thing. Like, she had not listened to last week's episode. She did not hear that. And she was like, you know, I don't want to be mean, but she seems like she's on pills.
Oh, my God. Yeah. No, we don't know that. But yes.
Sure.
By the way, I would also be the Gabby of the season. There's no doubt in my mind that I would be like, you're a little kooky. She's the fun one. I would be playing the part of Gabby. You know what I mean?
Forget her repeating, quirky.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And as I said, as a woman, somebody says to you, you're kind of quirky, you don't want to be fucking called quirky. And she said it exactly how I always feel. Hey, like,
I think Gabby's pretty cool. She really liked that dog. That dog really liked her. That's a good
true.
Sign right
oh,
there.
No, I wrote great. Dog. I wrote yeah. dog on ground. They did fake graffiti on like
very
not
funny.
Even a real wall. Like a, no. like a. That's the thing where I was like, oh, it's COVID. It's COVID. Like, we're going to play. Nothing's open, but we're in Toronto, Canada. And so we're going to do street hockey. She picked up the ball. They were eating beaver, which.
Oh, God.
He talked to me.
I wrote that line down of, have you ever eaten beaver before? And then I wrote, dear God, this guy sucks. That was like the word. That was like just confirmation that he was like, duh.
And also like kind of like, I hope you have. It'd be fucking hot if you have eaten beaver. you and your friend Hillary sometimes kiss. He's that guy.
Yeah.
Him even liking Gabby to me is maybe one of the most interesting things I've seen of Clayton. Because I'm like, this is an interesting match.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I actually think that it makes me like him a little bit that he, because she has a little bit of pep in her step. And I appreciate that he likes her.
But she also has maybe like a little like I can't tell what's going on with her, like Shanae in a way where I'm like, oh, maybe that's what he likes is like. And I think for her, it's like translates to like a nice person who's exciting and interesting or whatever. But that feeling of people are saying of like, she seems like she's on pills. That there's something going on with Gabby where I'm like, what is up with Gabby? I don't know Gabby's deal. She's kind of hard to understand.
Yes. So he goes, she says, you don't know what's going on in my crazy little mind. That was a statement. And then he goes, and then in this phrase too, he goes, I love the jokester side of you. I hate the word jokester. You're such a jokester. That offends me.
That's why I want to hear Gabby repeat everything he calls her, jokester.
I don't blame her. I do not blame her. It's like, what? Are you out of your mind? Like, huh? And then he goes, I love it. A sense of humor is big. And then
Like, remember that beaver thing I said earlier? And that was funny, right? That's the kind of comedy I like.
If she had said that, I would have given her the rose.
I mean, just the whole, and then he goes, so they go, it was just like, they had a big jump. I love it. You have a big sense of humor. And then I wrote down pills. And then it says, you know, this is an expedited process, so I have to put it all on the table. Let's see. Something about not getting on the good side in the past.
Yeah, she had a bad relationship with her mom. I think this is where this confession comes
out.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, yes. Mm. That's right. She has trouble receiving love. She feels undeserving, unworthy, that she does so much of the work. And that's it, she feels like her mom would sort of take it and then like give it and then withhold it from her. She was really physically affectional and then she would just withhold. And she's like, if my mom can't always love me, how can anybody else? And then he says, do you still feel that way? And then she lost somebody. I miss her so much. Oh, the mom, she hasn't talked to her mom in a long time. And then she was crying and she said, I miss her so much. And then he says, you are very deserving of love. And then she's like, look, I've been in a lot of therapy. I strive to one day get back in touch with her. You know, she's going to make it to hometowns and they're going to get that mom.
Oh
my
God.
And then,
you know, Clayton and never talk to her ever again after that.
Oh yeah. And then he actually says after seeing all of this, love could be on the horizon for the two of us. And then they got in the pool and they were just like kissing in the pool. And then he says she could be my future wife.
Yes. Rooftop pool out of nowhere and then just straight to future wife. But yeah, they seemed, I thought they had a genuine connection. I was surprised to see it, but I was like, I think she's final four.
I had her picked in my, you know, I had her picked as my number two, I think. When we do our draft picks, you know, we do it just based on the photos and the bios.
Right.
But I find, you know what I like? I find her to be the most, like, she feels very real in her interactions.
Yes.
And
she's
very authentic. I think she wears her heart on her sleeve. And I think that's why I enjoy their interaction. Actually, I'm like, oh, they're cute together. Like, she feels like a very genuine person.
Yes.
She's fun. And I also, like, wonder if she got exposed to Joker gas or something. She seems like slightly giggly and off.
Yeah.
But she does seem nice. Honestly, and like I said, like, the interesting thing about Clayton liking her is the most, like, having a, like, connection with her is the most interesting thing about Clayton.
Yeah.
But then her liking Clayton is a thing that makes me like her less. Like,
sure.
That's the issue with Clayton, is that anyone connecting with him, I'm like, this guy is a bummer. But
just know that the women actually hate him. Just remember that.
Please. Yeah. They have to hate him.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with the group date. It's time to get sexy.
Oh, yeah.
I need a sexual timeout.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in exactly. To what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, right. Which is different than empathy, yeah. Right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. So then they're at the group date. Jesse Palmer is there with Russell Peters. You know none of those women knew who Russell Peters was.
No.
You know, they're not giant comedy fans, even though he's like one of the biggest stand-ups in the whole entire world. I'm sure they were just like, wait, huh? And then he's the roast champion. He says the meaner, the funnier. Clayton goes, sense of humor is critical. Marlena loves roasting people. They brought in an audience of 12 people. He said one is a failed contestant and the new host that is his stunt double, which actually that was pretty funny. I have to say Marlena was really good at it.
Marlena killed it.
She said, Shanae is like a herpes outbreak. No matter how hard you try to get rid of her, she keeps coming back and lasts longer than expected. That's a great line.
She had genuinely good jokes. She's really, I think, the only contestant who had more than one or two jokes in the edit. Like she had like a good chunk of material. And it like this is one of those things where it just frustrated me so much that like Clayton didn't give her the group date rose.
I felt
because
the
it's
same
like
way.
She so clearly
it's so fucked
won
up. It's
this competition,
won.
But you're just
yes.
Like
you won.
That was maddening.
Katie
that completely
Levine.
Checked me out.
Katie Levine, I see you feeling passionate. Hop in, hun.
It's I want insane. Her to be the Bachelorette.
I love her.
I think she's funny.
Ooh, that's great.
She's got great personality. She can play football. Like, come on.
Was she the former Olympian?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
How
hell
amazing.
Yeah, make her the Bachelorette.
She's gorgeous. Like, she would be such an amazing Bachelorette. Like,
great she's pick. Out of Clayton's league.
She's way too good for him. Make her the Bachelorette.
She posted all her roast jokes on her TikTok. If you guys kind of want to go watch them all.
Oh wow. Yes, I agree with you, Wags. I agree that she I never called you that. I had to like practice.
I like it.
Did you? Okay, I'm gonna keep doing it. I felt like as soon as I agree with you, I was like, are you fucking kidding me that like you didn't give her the rose? Like then like it just like this is a shit competition then. Mitch, how did you feel?
I felt like if I was Clayton, I would like be eyeing everyone who like really related to that herpes joke. I'd be like,
How about when you found out that that girl had IBS? I felt badly. All I could think of her is like, oh, you have gas. Maybe, I felt bad. That's not nice.
Maybe fall in love with her. That was that IBS thing was a great reveal.
Also, said the Sarah calling Mara a cougar. She's 32 years old.
I'm insane. Insane.
She's
insane.
Basically dead.
It actually made me not like the woman who roasted her.
Sarah. She's being mean.
She was being mean, and she went after her teeth gap. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's not clever. I feel like it was mean. You're picking on this woman who's done. So we haven't seen her do anything, but like. you're calling. It was, I just felt very protective of Mara. And I was like, she's 32 years old.
It does feel like if you're over 30 and God forbid you're over 31 on this show, you're like the oldest person known to mankind to these.
And women. A woman. And a woman.
We act like you've experienced so much. Like you're so old. Are you robbing the cradle? It's like, what is this world?
I love when whoever said, I'm so honored to be on Shanae's season of The Bachelor. that was really funny.
The Shanae jokes. I mean, first of all, any comedy art, and I'm sure you feel this way. Any time you see like in a reality show, you see any sort of comedy thing done, it's always just so fun to watch because it's just such a nightmare. And just seeing people do it and seeing people try to teach it is just very, it's great. It's great to watch.
I have so much compassion. Like I can't imagine a worse assignment. Like, I'm sure that is everyone's biggest nightmare of like getting on that date. Can you imagine being a contestant on this and having to go do that?
No, but then you just see like the confidence that I'm like, these people have like more confidence than like good comedians. I know they're just out there just like slinging jokes.
I wish I had half of that.
Beautiful person confidence where they're like, I can do that.
It's the green light. Nothing but green lights. It's the Autobahn of life. If you're gorgeous, it's the Autobahn. That's why the rest of us fools have to say out loud, I'm becoming a champion because I look like Barb from Stranger Things, about to get eaten by the Demogorgon until I was 15. So like, that's why now as an adult, I have to reiterate, I'm becoming a champion. I'm becoming a champion. Whereas they've always been champions. Mm-hmm. Anyway, here we go. So then we have Susie the photographer. We're at the cocktail party afterwards. She pulls out a microphone and she's like, Clayton, do you want to go hang? She's like, no, I told you the bad stuff. I thought this was cute. I want to share what I like about you. I like your dimples. I like that you're compassionate. Like, she's in the running. I fear I'm with you.
I like her.
I think Wags, I think you're right. I think that the flight instructor is going to win. But I think Susie's going to maybe be top three.
Yeah, I think it was Mitch who called a Rachel being
I'm saying winning, Rachel,
but I agree. I think Rachel's gonna be in the mix for sure. I mean, especially because she got the group date rose, right? He was like the person who makes me feel safe, and it's just like, wait, what, like how did she win this one? But it's clearly because he's just trying to fast track her.
It made no sense, but I think he likes Rachel a lot. I like Susie. I like her as well.
She's so cute.
I like Hunter. There are a lot of and I like the Olympian. There's like a lot of Marlena. People who I like.
Well, Marlena, he was horny for Marlena afterwards. You could see because she was so good at it. Like the sheer fact that she was also like an Olympian and fucking funny. Like she did such a great job. And he said, you outdid yourself. You have a future in stand-up. You're as smooth as it gets. And you had great timing. He was right. But she was great. And then she said, I give 100% of everything. I do all, no breaks. Sometimes it's hard for me. I don't feel like I get it back. And then they're like kissing and she didn't get it. Like, he gave it to Rachel.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't get it. Didn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense.
Meanwhile, back at stuck at Gabby is like, she's like, I'm stuck at home with Genevieve and Shanae. It's the most awkward evening. So then, like, they get the note. It's like, you know, basically they're like, oh, is it going to be Niagara Falls? It didn't say love Clayton. And so Shanae decides to come up with a new analogy that poor Genevieve is a dog. She's like, I don't know what she looks like wet, but she doesn't look cute. Gonna look like a chihuahua. What chihuahua? The confidence.
Dear God.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, Rachel, the flight instructor, she's like, I love that. As if he has anything to do with planning these dates. She goes, I love that you're always pushing me out of my comfort zone. I'm not creative. I'm not a creative person, but I did it for you. And then he said, I really don't stop thinking about you. He said that like at all times. You're on my mind, Rachel, almost all the time of the day. Now, why? Trying it. Is that right? Am I saying it right? It's why.
Yeah, 100%. No, yeah.
Great. Okay. Who said at the beginning that there's somebody you think is going to win? Is it also Rachel? Do you agree with Mitch?
No, I mean, I think from this episode, I was very bullish on Gabby. And I think that they just have like such a connection there. Huh. And that date felt like such a like, oh, wow, I think she's kind of a dark horse sort of going to be, you know, like really, really in the mix. I don't know if necessarily going to win.
Yeah.
But I just thought that was such a strong showing from her. And it also felt like such a strong like connection between the two of them. Where she's, I can see that having legs.
She's going to have a strong run in Paradise. She's going to be super popular in Paradise. Would you agree, Dr. Banana?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We have not seen the last. Paradise is such a great feeding ground because then it's just like.
Oh, just remember when you want to check out of this, remember you're just getting to know the farm team for the most important show on earth. Also, out came a bunch of maple syrup shots. I don't want to do a shot of maple syrup. Do you?
No, nasty.
Bad way to try to get things going.
Yeah.
Somebody said, Sarah, who is mean to the 32-year-old, she goes, you're seeing my confidence and you're seeing my comfortability. That's my comfortability with you. Is that a word?
It is now.
Sure. Linguistics is descriptive, not prescriptive. Language is mutable, changes over time.
And then he goes and he kisses her against the wall in like an arching back bend. He is horny for her. Sarah.
How did they get outside? I didn't understand what happened there.
I don't either. Yeah. I don't either. Meanwhile, we get the two-on-one. They have to pull out their suitcases. They're silent in the limo. Shanae has a plan. She thought about it all day long. She's treating it like a one-on-one. She scripted exactly what she's going to say, how she's going to say it. Genevieve is not going to know what's hit her. They're going to go below the falls on a cruise. And Shanae says, this is the last time I'm taking the trash out. She's a wet dog. Come here, Genevieve. We're going outside. Oops. And then she throws him over pretends to throw the wet dog, the chihuahua, over. Great ending. I mean, overall, solid episode.
Can I tell you what we were robbed of?
Talk to me.
We were robbed of not seeing Shanae do stand-up. That is the one.
Would have been fun.
Producers should have scrambled and included both of them in the date for the stand up. It would have been fireworks. She would have said some nasty stuff.
Yeah, and that would have also been the one for her to oh, oops, I showed up. Guess I'm gonna do it, bitches. You know what I mean? Like that would have been the one to like get her in a van, a production van, drive her over to the spot and like let her at it. Yeah. Okay, you guys, we really appreciate when you like us on Apple Podcasts. That really helps us with our, just selling ads and stuff like that. If it's a good, and we love your reviews. If it's a good review, even better. But first of all, before we get to any of the reviews, guys, production team, we made it to 1.8 this week. We made it. We've been trying to get, we've been at 1.7 for a while. We made it to 1.8. Thank you guys. We were actually like texting each other. Anna sent a Kermit the Frog, like a love thing. Like, how do you guys feel about that?
Very excited. Love that people love us, and we appreciate everybody that writes a review. Really, like we genuinely appreciate every single person that writes a review.
But we read all of them. Yeah. You can tell we're such maniacs. All right, here's one for you, Dr. Banana. I loved this one because, you know, I'm very protective of you. Here is one, 5 stars, a romance, 27. Am I a stan of Anna Banana? Side note, solid subject line. As a longtime member of the Zeitgang and the congregation, I started listening when Miles and Lacey Mosley brought their craziness to the pod, and I stayed because I will literally listen to any podcast where I get to hear Anna's perfect opinions. Wow. Arden always manages to assemble the funniest cast of characters, and I can never stop laughing. I can't be bothered to watch the show anymore, Bachelor fatigue, but I still listen because it's a way better use of my time, and I want to be ready for Paradise. Anna, how do you feel? You have perfect opinions.
I mean, you know, I can't help but agree that I have perfect opinions. You really nailed me there. Thank you. That's so nice. Shout out to Zeitgang. And the congregation. What do we call our people?
Like smoke show parade. The champions. The smoke show champs.
Yeah, there you go. The smoke show champs. We love you guys.
Oh my God. Smoke. What's better? The champions is pretty good.
That's really good.
I like smoke show champs, though.
Smoke show champs is also, you know what? The smoke show champs is pretty, because we're like a group of champions who are extra good at being smoke shows. That's this area that we've nailed.
Yeah.
All right, here's a person who disagrees that we've nailed anything. Guys, we got a one-star review from Camp P2727. Now, your lady at a 27, did she only like you, Anna, and change her name to give us a one-star review? This subject line is unlistenable. Did my dad come back from the dead and get an iTunes account? Unlistenable, Camp P. I am surprised to see such good reviews and big guests. I've listened to nearly all Bachelor podcasts, and this has to be towards the bottom for me. Just the not the right fit for being a podcast host. Too many people talking over one another and very weak takes. Okay. So basically you loved it is what you're saying. So I suck. Everybody's opinion is wrong. And there's too many of us with the wrong opinions. And I'm like the worst host ever. Well, I'm going to say it's maybe not the right fit for a podcast listener for this podcast. And feel free to hop onto those other ones. I think, you know what? Free to be you and me. If we're not your flavor, okay, it was free. Sorry you wasted 4 hours of your life, but like, you know what? We'd rather not have you at our party. Is that terrible to say?
Did they miss the part where I have perfect opinions?
Did they miss the part where I'm a champion?
Yeah. Okay. I think you're lost.
Also, what are our, we have pretty, our opinions are weak. Like, are they supposed to be stronger? Like, we hate people? Like, I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm not a hater.
Sometimes I feel like my opinions are too strong.
What do other podcasts, like, what are their strong opinions? You know, it just sounds like it's not the right fit. We're going to end on this one. This is from 5 stars from Sky69B, Centaurs and Twins. Now, that's a much better subject line than unlistenable. Centaurs and Twins, I'm newish to the Bachelor franchise, and this podcast makes it so much better. It's hilarious that I'm not the only one that thinks that Jesse and Clayton look identical, and y'all calling Clayton a centaur made me laugh out loud in my shared office every single time. I also listened to That's Messed Up, so Lisa is an awesome bonus. I truly can't wait to see what my podcast friends have to say about the episode every week. Oh, welcome to the podcast. That's so nice. I love that. That's a great review. The centaur. Man, Gareth kills me. Also, speaking of Gareth, Dracula received his sleep crown. Don't forget, each week during February, if you win Tweet of the Week, Julie, the wonderful owner of the female-owned business, Sleep Crown, is sending a $185, I believe, dollar value, something like that, to the person who wins. They get a Sleep Crown. Gareth got it, and he said it's been a game changer, that he's never slept so well. He loves his Sleep Crown, and Lance Bass is about to get his, too. So don't forget to do Tweet of the Week, or you can also go to Sleep Crown. What is the code, and what is the discount that they get, Anna?
SleepCrown/WIATR, and it's code ROSE for $15 off your purchase. And yes. I also love my Sleep Crown. I use it all the time, every night. And I honestly don't think I could sleep without it anymore. I've become addicted.
It's so good. Guys, we also love your emails. Here's an amazing email that we got. You can email us at rosepodcast@gmail.com. And if you win Tweet of the Week this week, which like the past 2 weeks, we have 2 happy Sleep Crown winners. Email us and send us your mailing address, and Julie will send you guys a Sleep Crown. I also have been sleeping well, even though Mittens has been Satan. Literally, Satan. Satan. They admitting she's been like, she broke a glass at 2 a.m. last night, like in the kitchen. She threw it off the counter. And but thank God, I just like, I got my little dirt devil out. I cleaned it up and then I put that sleep crown back on and I slept like an angry baby. Okay, here's an email that we got. This is from Lisa Lance Wynn. That's the subject line. It's from Mal Janda. Hi, love the podcast. I've been listening since Nick Viall season, and with the advent of Clayton, I am now a non-watcher who only listens to the podcast. There's so many of you. I love that. This week, you really got me. Lisa talked about being a baby feminist playing football as the only girl in junior high. I, too, flailed at baby feminism instead by being the girl on the boys' soccer team. My school was too small to have a football team. I was having a moment of reverie, only to have my reverie interrupted by the mental image of Lance Bass being dragged 60 yards downfield by Michael Turchin. I laughed out loud slash peed a little in the middle of my run. Yes, that's right. In freezing temps here on the East Coast, I ran to the farthest away Target that had my favorite jelly beans in stock. And you reminded me that I am not a human trash bag. I am becoming a champion. Great work this week. My, how great is that email?
Wow. That is a great email. Thank you so much. I'm glad you are becoming a champion. It's so nice to hear that other people are also on their champion back.
Can I just say, I now have people, like, there's a person from my life who's reemerged, and I told him that I was becoming a champion. And, like, again, not everybody understands because not everybody's part of the smoke show champ. Wait, smoke champ? What are we?
Wait,
smoke show champions?
Smoke show champs?
Smoke champs? Smoke champs? I don't know. It will work on. It's a work in progress, guys. But anyway, I have somebody who regularly texts me now and asks how it's going with my quest to become a champion. And it feels like legitimately, I just feel so understood and seen. And I feel like I actually carry myself with like more of a strut and my like kind of like more open chested and a little more confident now that I am becoming a champion. Katie, Anna, did you think about becoming a champion this week?
Yes, always.
Did you call yourself a champion this week to anybody?
I did. Yes, I always do. I let my partner know that I'm becoming a champion, usually right after I come back from tennis. And I'm like,
you do? Wow, do you say out loud? Give me an exchange. Tell me how does that go down?
He doesn't say anything. And I said, wow, you should have seen me at tennis tonight. I was killing it. I'm basically a professional champion playing tennis player.
That's right.
He doesn't really say anything back. And then I am like, continue on. And then eventually he goes, yeah.
That sounds like a healthy relationship. That's going to be my relationship goals. Katie, did you refer to yourself as a champion to anybody this week?
I've always been a champion, so yeah.
Yes! Yeah. That's because you have a good dad. And you knew you didn't have to, like, really tell everyone in your life. I like, when you have a bad dad who comes back from the dead to write a review like the one we got, you need to actually, like, you need the affirmation of saying out loud, I'm becoming a champion. But because you had the good dad, it was instilled in you from birth that you are obviously a champion.
Yeah. I mean, literally, like, I love to hike. Every time I hike a new mountain, I go, I'm a champion.
There you go.
I'm a fucking champion. I hike
all right,
mountain.
Guys, one final thing. I don't know if you heard our trailer last week, but Dr. Banana and I have a new podcast that drops tomorrow. I co-host it with Julianne Robinson. She's fancy. You guys, she's British. She has a British accent. She directed the pilot of Bridgerton. She's an executive producer of Bridgerton. And our podcast, Lady of the Road, drops tomorrow. And it's you know, similar vibe in that I'm the host and I'm pretty consistent in who I am, but it's sort of my quest in all areas to become a champion. And we talk to women, that esteemable women that we admire. And our first person that we got to talk to, and the episode drops tomorrow, is Joan Jett, who said that she suffered from stage fright, still suffers from stage fright. And like, we talked to her about how she performs anyway. She was also the very first woman to start her own record label, and she did that because no company would sign her because she was a woman, and so she had to create her own record label. And then because of that, her first album had like like 5 or 7 number one hits, number one singles. And now, jokes on all of them, she owns all of her tracks. Like, so it's just talking to people that we admire, their story, their journey of how they had sort of adversity and like how they've, you know, what they did to sort of push through it or not get down. And it's a great podcast. Anna, how cool is Joan Jett?
Joan Jett is the coolest person. I mean, even the minute she signed on to our Zoom recording, it was like she was enigmatic. Like it was off the bat, just the cool. You could just sense like I'm talking to the coolest person ever.
I had to really self, just know when you're listening, you guys, as the people who know and understand me, I had to really self-soothe a lot. So you can just know when you listen, my entire internal monologue is, be cool, Arden, be cool, that's fucking Joan Jett. Like, just don't be yourself. Just don't be you. Just take a breath, like chill it out for a second, because you're like, don't scare Joan Jett. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I might have scared her a couple times. So check it out. Well, overall, so who do you guys think is going to win before we get to our tweet of the week?
I think Mitch is probably right that Rachel's the best pick. I mean, I have a soft spot for Gabby, but I think I hope Shanae wins. Again, I'm just you know, I'm an accelerationist here. There's one Shanae thing we missed earlier that really made me laugh, which was when Gabby got picked for the one-on-one and people were happy for her. There was a Shanae testimonial where she could not intellectually understand the concept of being happy for someone else.
Yes.
Oh, man, she's that is a true psychopath.
She is a home run.
Great. Yeah.
I think Rachel does win. Does anybody here not think Rachel's going to win? Okay.
Gabby to me is the real wild card too. In that, because I thought with Clayton, I just thought it was such. I was like, oh, he's a horny guy. And it seems like he's like into kind of like these blonde, like the Shanae, Rachel kind of looks wise. And then Gabby was kind of interesting to me because I was like, oh, she's definitely a different look from them. And I can't really tell where his head is at besides the fact that he is definitely horny. He's so horny. He's fucking horny.
They all are, though. Every bachelor, I think, can't believe that they get a bouquet of women to make out with. Like, they just cannot believe. Yeah. They're all so horny.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Tweet of the week. Guys, we're going to narrow it down to two. There's about 8 or 9 here. This is from Chaz at @Thorium_Dragon. Shanae, look, bitches, I'm sorry. Clayton, well, I think I speak for all of us when I say apology accepted.
Yeah. That was good.
This is from Sean Yuva Bitch at Y Sean I Y do you get I W Y G. Opening scene. Susie, Rachel, and Jill are gossiping about Shanae. Cut to Shanae eavesdropping against the recovered trophy against the door. Oh, this one was from Nico, which I referenced earlier at @Nico_Mantha. Rather than asking any personal questions, Clayton is treating this season like he's the judge of a kissing booth competition.
Really great.
That's good. Okay, here's another one. This is from Santini35 at @Santini35. Only one comes out with a rose. The other gets a ride in a barrel. This is from Justin Spade at Justin Spade. Clayton saying he worked at Six Flags is just a churched up way of saying he was a carny. Okay, here we go. All right, this is from Robin Kern at Robin Kern. Bachelor Nation can feel solace in the knowledge that Shanae will be selected to be the first influencer to pimp vaginal antiperspirant. this is from B. Perry at Great Bedonia. Gabby is the quirky best friend from every rom-com that you wished the movie was really about.
Yes. That's just
okay. Good.
All right, this is from Ryan Paulson at R. Paulson Photo. I can't be the only one who expects that when Shanae finally gets caught in all of her lies, it's going to be a moment like when Robert Durst got caught on the Jinx.
That'd be great. She's burping, just burping constantly.
Just burping and burping and burping. okay, here we go. One final one. Let's see. This is from B. Perry at Great Bedonia. At this point, I predict that Clayton will eventually marry Shanae and the Clayton clone host will lose his job trying to defend it. All right. Top two. Or should we also throw in the one we did earlier? Rebecca at Elegant Crop Top, having a white hetero cis male former pro athlete address a group of women and tell them it hasn't been easy but challenging to be the bachelor. So I would like to talk to the winning team of the group date. Is peak 2022. What are your top two?
I really like Kissing Booth, which we read earlier as well. I thought that was a good insight.
That's one of my top two.
Okay.
Yeah, I like the first tweet.
Okay, great. Good, yeah. All right, here we go. Okay, so Chaz at Thorium_Dragon. Shanae, look, bitches, I'm sorry. Clayton, well, I think I speak for all of us when I say apology accepted. We have the other one is from Nico at Nico_Mantha. Rather than asking any personal questions, Clayton is treating this season like he's the judge of a kissing booth competition. Bitches, I'm sorry, or kissing booth competition. Wags.
Both great. I just like the punch of the first one a little bit more. Bitches, I'm sorry.
Okay, Mitch.
I think I like the punch of the first one too, but the second one is, did we get tired of it like we were afraid of after we've heard it so many times?
Yeah, good point.
You know what? I'm going to go with the second one just to make things interesting.
All right. Katie, kissing booth or apology accepted?
I like apology accepted. It's so good.
Okay. Anna, apology accepted or kissing booth?
I'm going to go apology accepted.
Well, I think you just put it over the edge for the new sleep crown winner, Chaz at Thorium_Dragon. Shanae, look, bitches, I'm sorry. Clayton, well, I think I speak for all of us when I say apology accepted. You guys, we've got a few more weeks of February where you can win your sleep crown. So tweet at us, tag me at Artemarine, MYRIN, or Anna Hosnier, HOSSNAIEH, hashtag WYATR by midnight on Monday nights. So you can be in the running and, please email us, Chaz. So we have your email address to, your mailing address so we can mail you your sleep crown. Wags, Mitch, thank you so much for being on. What a joy. Our listeners love you. We love you. What would you like to promote? Wags.
An absolute delight.
People are going to tweet at you and say, we're the Clayton of this podcast. We're equivalent to Clayton.
Oh, are you kidding? Our numbers go up when you guys are on. They love you. People love this combo.
We're Shanae's.
We're the Shanae. Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
We just ruin things.
You're the Shanae.
Check out Doughboys, the podcast about chain restaurants. Me and Mitch, new episodes every Thursday on the HeadGum Podcast Network. And Mitch's watch Mitch's movie, The Tomorrow War, on Amazon Prime.
Wags, thank you.
You guys, and don't forget, if nothing else, let us honor these gentlemen as the champions they are. My name is Artem Marine, Katie Levine, Anna Hosnier. Do you have anything you'd like to promote?
Just at Anna Hosnier on Twitter. Please keep tweeting your weeks.
And we're doing our Summer House. It just started. It's so fun. I've never watched Summer House. And I was like, I don't know. I don't get it. And boy, this episode that's about to go up this Friday, it's the second. We're doing it with Brendan Smith. They're like, they've seen every season. They're obsessed with it. They're taking me through. I would say episode two is where it really kicks into high gear. It's so fucking fun. So there you go. That's on Patreon. Katie.
Woo! If you live in LA, please consider fostering a dog because all the shelters are super full right now. Or adopting a dog. That's fine too. Just get a dog.
All right, you guys. My name is Artem Ray. Until next time, goodbye.
Oh, yeah. Gonna get all up in you tonight. Feels so good. I just got one little question for you, girl.
Will you accept this rose? Oh, will you accept this rose into your world? Oh, will you accept this rose?
Will you? Accept This Rose is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. And I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.